always love a baptism. It's really exciting. And all of you being baptized today, it's going to be a really memorable moment for you. And so can I have a little bit more light on my notes, boys? That'd be lovely. So when I was thinking about baptisms, there are some certain memorable baptisms in my mind. And one is 2 summers ago, we all went down to Caswell. And we planned it that we would go down to do these baptisms at high tide to make sure we could actually baptize people and not, you know, walk far. And we set up a little gazebo and a picnic. But what we didn't realize was the tide was coming in so fast that in the end, we were baptizing everyone. All of us who were watching, we were also sort of being semi-baptized to the ankles. And it was chaos, but it was amazing. That's a really great memory. But my other memory of baptism is when years ago, when we were pioneering the church, a number of people wanted to get baptized, and we didn't have a baptistry or a pool or anything. And so friends of ours at Linden down in the Mumbles, they said, well, you can come and use our pool. We're like, oh, brilliant, thanks. So on a Sunday afternoon, we all went down there. But when we arrived, the person who'd been given the job to open up had forgotten, and they were late. So we were all waiting outside. This was a beautiful summer's day, and we're outside for about 25 minutes. Now, our children at the time were like 8, 6, and 2. There were other small children as well. So half an hour outside, the children are racing around the garden and the car park, getting really excited. So when finally the person turned up with the keys and we're all getting ready to go in, the person came up, opened the door with the keys, and our eldest, Rachel, who was about 8 at the time, just shot straight through the doors in enthusiasm into a black building. And as we walked in and switched the lights on, she couldn't be seen anywhere, because their baptistry was flush with the floor. And so it was a big hole in the middle of the floor filled with water with an electrical element in it heating the water up. So I couldn't speak or move, and somebody ran in, grabbed her by the scruff of the neck and picked her up. And she was most upset that now she couldn't wear her nice clothes to watch the baptism, but had to be taken into the kitchen, and some fella offered a big spare t-shirt, and she spent the baptism in a t-shirt. And as we drove home and she'd watched all these people baptized, she said, Mummy, I don't know if I was ready, but have I been baptized today? So there are many experiences we've had of amazing baptisms. I remember when we set up our first baptistry in Penlan car park, we hired a brand new skip in the car park. Do you remember that? And we baptized everyone in that. Well, we got a lovely pool, a Best Way pool today, so you'll be baptized in that. So what is baptism? Well, Beth, in a way, has already explained to us, it's an outward sign of something that has happened in our heart, that there's an inward personal change. So the person being baptized today is showing that they have had a personal encounter with Jesus that has changed their life. It has been life-changing to have the burden of all our sins forgiven, lifted, that burden lifted, that we now have life with Jesus and eternity with him. And so baptism, public picture of what has happened privately in somebody's heart. And so this is what they demonstrate by going down into the water. So going down into the water demonstrates that our sins are buried, that when Jesus died on the cross, all our sins were forgiven by that action on the cross. We identify with Jesus when we go down into the water, that we are like buried with him, and our sins are buried, they are washed away. And it also shows our complete surrender to Jesus as we go right under the water. It shows that surrender. And so the going down is very important, and that's why the whole body goes under. Now, one exception we have today, our dear friend Mike, who's being baptized. Mike is like almost back from the dead. Mike was very, very ill in hospital, and many of the church have prayed and visited, and because of Mike's health, he can't go in the baptism pool. So we've got our very special own bowl here, where he'll put his hands down in the water and up and on his head to symbolize the full job, okay? But normally somebody would be go right under the water, but we're going to be really creative with how we do that today. And then when somebody comes up out of the water, that celebrates that new life has begun. That just like Jesus rose from the dead, we have come alive with him to a brand new life. We are clean, and we have this new life because of Jesus' resurrection. And so if we look at the verses in Romans 6, it says this. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Okay, and so it's showing what has happened. This incredible thing that has happened on the inside is being demonstrated publicly to everyone, of going down, coming back up again, of the new life in Jesus. Now, where does baptism come from? Well, we see it in the Bible. You might remember John the Baptist or John the Baptizer, and he was out baptizing people in the Jordan River, out in the desert, and he was preparing the way for Jesus. So people would come along and they would listen to John preach, and his baptism was a baptism for the forgiveness of sins. In Luke 3 and in the other Gospels, it says John went into all the country around the Jordan preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people became aware of the things they'd done wrong, and they said, I want God to forgive me. John, will you baptize me? And that picture was to show to everybody that sign of repenting, turning from our sins, and being forgiven. And then, of course, when Jesus came along, people started to flock to Jesus because he had the very answer to life. In fact, it was John himself who was preparing the way for Jesus to come. And in John's Gospel, it explains to us, Jesus learned that the Pharisees heard he was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples. And so Jesus and his disciples were also now traveling around, and as people began to follow Jesus and want their sins forgiven, he delegated the job to all the disciples, because I would imagine there's hundreds of people, and the disciples would baptize people. And so that's our example in the Bible. And so it's a symbolic time of that my sins are forgiven and new life begins. And so it's not the water that cleanses us. It is Jesus, that when we put our faith in Jesus, his love has cleansed us from all sin. And then when we are baptized, it's that public symbol of what has happened. So why is forgiveness of sins so important? Why is that important? Well, you and I know what it's like when we fall out with a loved one. It hurts, doesn't it? We fall out with a friend or a loved one, and it's just a hot, nothing feels right. I remember one time we went on holidays, it's like beautiful place, and we had our, what we used to call our day three argument. You know, do you find that you start to unwind? And we always found that we would have an argument about day three. So now we say to each other when we go on holiday, it's day three. Okay, we just be nice to each other. Anyway, it's day three, and you're like in this beautiful location, but doesn't it? It's not the same when you've fallen out. Isn't it great, that moment when you make up? When you make up with a friend. And you have my little penguins on the screen here, Fee. That when you make up, it's like, yay! Everything's back to normal. It's brilliant. And so that forgiveness and forgiving one another for the things we do wrong to each other, we know that that reconciliation is a beautiful thing. Now, one time, Julian had a brand new car, and he was going on a journey, and the car was like, you can see, the men can see what's coming now, you see, right? So this car is like 5 days old, beautiful diesel car. And I was out in the car, and I was driving home, and I thought, oh, it'd be really kind, wouldn't it, to just, you know, fill it up now, go to the garage, fill it up with petrol. So when he goes on his journey in the morning, it's all done. So I drove this brand new car, 5 days old, to the garage, filled it up with petrol. And as I was driving it the mile and a half home, it started to, like, you know, be jumpy and shaky. And I was like, well, this is rubbish, this new car. It's not working at all. I got up to the traffic lights, and as the traffic lights changed, and I was stopped starting and coming around. And then as I drove around the corner to our house, I suddenly realized that I had just filled up his brand new diesel with unleaded petrol. And as I got it to the door of the house, and I was thinking, I probably shouldn't be driving this, but I'm home now. I parked, I sat in the car for a little bit, and I thought, this is a true test of forgiveness in this moment. And so I walked up to the door. Instead of putting my key in and going in, I rang the bell. And Julian came to the door. And as he came to the door, he said, oh, you don't have your key. I said, no, I do. I thought it might be better this way. What are you on about? I said, well, I just filled up your car with petrol. He goes, oh, great, thanks. No, I filled up your car with petrol. Yeah? No, I filled up your diesel with petrol. And at that moment, his face went white. And he looked at me, and he walked off into the lounge. And I think that was the safest place. And as I came in the door, I could just see him walking around the lounge. And he didn't say a word. And then he turned around and he said, "You are forgiven." So we know forgiveness is so important to reconcile in relationships, and life is just not quite the same when we're out of sync with someone. We see our sins separate us from God. The things we do wrong, because God is pure and holy and full of love, and heaven is pure. God wants us to have relationship with him and all his good things and all his love and be part of heaven. But our sins, the things we do wrong, separate us. And God is not happy with that. He longs for reconciliation with us. He longs for a relationship, so much so that that's why he sent Jesus to the cross. And that when Jesus died on the cross, he died in our place, that we should die for our sins, but instead Jesus died for our sins, because God wants us to experience all the love that he has for us. But our part to play is to recognize what Jesus has done and to say, "Lord Jesus, I believe in you. And I thank you for what you did on the cross." Because when Jesus died for our sins, it wasn't like blanket forgiveness for everyone. It was for us to access that forgiveness and say, "Lord Jesus, I turn from the things I've done wrong. I am sorry for them. I ask that you will forgive me." And then he rushes in quickly to forgive us for everything we ever did wrong. And our relationship is reconciled. And Jesus wants us to live with him every day with his power and his strength and his Holy Spirit in us, that life takes on a whole new dimension. And then when we die and we go through that veil from life to death, we walk straight into the arms of Jesus, who welcomes us because his love is for us and we've been forgiven of all our sins that were a barrier. In the Bible, it puts it like this. This is from Colossians 2. And in Colossians 2, it says, "Having been buried with him in baptism," which we're going to do now, "in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead, when you were dead in your sins," so it's like because of our sins, it's like being dead to God, "but God made you alive with Christ." We become alive to Jesus when we turn and trust in him. "He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross." What beautiful love is that? That Jesus himself should die for us to be reconciled, nailing our sin to the cross that it is dealt with. That is amazing. And for God, there is no mystery with how we go to heaven or how we have relationship with Jesus. Today we were singing about the mystery of his love, and the mystery is that he loves us. But there is no mystery about gaining that love. There is no mystery to that. The Bible makes it totally plain that if we simply turn to Jesus, he wants us to know his love. And we ask him to forgive us for the sins, the things that we've done wrong. He comes into our life, makes us brand new, and we have a new life with him. And it's plain. And one time, John records how a guy called Nicodemus came to Jesus. Now, Nicodemus served God in the temple and with the other leaders, but he still didn't really have that intimacy with God. And he came and talked to Jesus and said, "What should I do? I can see that there's a deeper step than I've understood." And Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Well, you've been born from your mother, but now you need to be born by the Spirit. You need to be born all over again, but this time by the Spirit of God." And being born again is coming to Jesus and doing that process I talked about. "Lord, I believe in you. Forgive me for my sins. Let me have new life and live with you today." And Jesus says to us to go into all the world, making disciples, baptizing them, and that they will learn the life of following him. In Matthew 28, he said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." He says, don't keep this a secret, but share with everybody. Don't keep the good news to yourself, but share it with everyone, that in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they will be baptized, which we'll see today. In fact, there was one time in the Bible when God was so concerned for this guy who was a treasurer in the palace, and he served the queen of Ethiopia. And he lived in Gaza, but he'd gone up in his chauffeur-driven chariot to Jerusalem to worship. But he was searching for God, but still couldn't find him. And on the way back, He was reading the Bible. He's reading the book of Isaiah in the back of his chariot. And so as he was being driven back to Gaza on his way home, God said to Philip, run alongside the chariot so that you can help him. And so Philip starts to jog. I'm glad I am not called to run alongside someone's car because I wouldn't be able to speak. By the time they stopped, I'd be like... So, but anyway, Philip's jogging alongside and he says to the guy, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, how can I understand unless someone explains to me? And he was reading the passage all about a lamb being sent for slaughter. And so Philip jumps into the chariot and explains the good news of Jesus and how he sacrificed his life. And the guy is so excited. He said, this is what I've been searching for. And as they passed water, he told the guy, you know, leading the chariot, stop. And he said to Philip, what's to stop me being baptized right now? And they jumped out of the chariot and they got into the water and the guy was baptized right there and then. And so all our lovely candidates today, they have done the same thing. They've gone on this journey with Jesus and today they want to show their friends and family the public expression of what's happened internally. They're not keeping a secret, but it's out there for all to see that there's been an inner change. And it's like them saying, what's to stop me? Here's some water. Baptize me now.